podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to your weekly fan team video from Fantasy Football Scout. I'm joined by Josh. As always, we are second chance teams are in, and it's now the second chance to enter a second chance team. It's all getting a bit confusing, isn't it, Josh?
How long have you been working on that line for? I absolutely love it. It's absolutely great. Yeah.
Do you know, I've been working. I genuinely, when I was putting the screens together, I was getting confused between second chance and late registration and all that. So, yeah, it's late registration for the second chance 100k game. It's still free to play if you haven't entered a team already. And yeah, if you haven't done one, you get 95% of the average points, right?
Yeah. Exactly, mate. It's exactly that. Yeah, it's 95%, I think, which is almost the average. Obviously, it's very close. It was a high-scoring week, which means that, in theory, everyone should have done okay, and maybe some of the top scores will bring up the average as well. But as we know, in any given week, people can have a shocker as well. So I think the average stays largely the same, to be honest.
Yeah, do we know what the average was this week?
It'll say in brackets. I'll find it while you're just introducing.
You find it. I'll carry on introducing. Yeah. So just to say, as always, this is a fan team video. It's not a kind of official FPL one. So if you're looking for that kind of content, then check out some of the other videos on Fantasy Football Scout. Fan team is a gambling website. Although the second chance game is free to play, which is other games within Fan Team you have to pay for. So if you are going to play any of those, make sure you gamble responsibly and check out gambleaware.co.uk. And of course, this is all for 18 plus people only. Have you found the average score?
Yeah, late reg teams start on 65 points. There you go.
65 points. Okay, that's great. That's better than all of my teams that I've got, entered. So fantastic. That shows how good a start I've had to this. 65 points, really? That's so high.
I mean, some people got like 100 and something this week. So, yeah, that's the only reason. There was obviously the Bruno captains were the winners, weren't they? So they pulled up the rest of the scores, I think.
That is... Oh, Lynn's in the chat saying she thinks it's a bit low. Well, good for you, Lynn. I'm glad that you probably outscored it. I didn't. Here's a graphic on the screen of the second chance game. £100,000 prize pool, £20,000 first place prize. Free entry, still free entry. If you haven't registered yet, all you've got to do is have your account verified. You haven't got to deposit any money. So yeah, check that out before the deadline tomorrow. It is the last chance for the last chance of the second chance tomorrow, right?
Absolutely, you've nailed it, yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's take a look at my team then. This was my best performing team, 8.8K. I think it's a good team. I was pretty disappointed. Sarr in goal, Trent, Laporte, Reguilon, Mike Alenko losing to Norwich. Brilliant. I had Salah in this one and Chamberlain came in, so that wasn't too bad. Madison, Jota, Bowen, Dennis and Ronaldo captain. Perfectly solid team. Didn't even hit the average.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of people with the Ronaldo captaincy thing. I think it's just one of those, like, this is what can happen in fantasy football sometimes, where Bruno against Ronaldo is a perfectly reasonable flip, like a decision, and it can just go as brutally like towards one side as it possibly can. So I think Bruno got 4 attacking returns, right? Which is, you know, very, very good for him. But Ronaldo, unfortunately, missed the first game. So I had Ronaldo captain on virtually every team as well, mate. So not on the one that's doing the best, ironically, but I think on all the rest of my teams, I had Ronaldo captain. So it's a really solid team. Like, you've covered 5 nice defences there. Obviously, Tottenham looked a bit ropey yesterday, but I think that was a good decision at the time. Everton had the fixtures and were nice and cheap. So again, I had Michael Keane on FPL, so I think that's even worse. He scored the own goal, so
I think at least Salah will catch people out, because people will have gone, you know, on that double game week or not really thought about him, and hopefully that can be, you know, because this actually wasn't the team that I kind of had the most faith in. The team that I liked the best did the worst, 57 points. Yeah, really, really poor. But they were all quite similar. I kind of kept them all quite similar and just did a couple of little tweaks. Rather than having like, I've got 4 teams, rather than having 4 like completely different teams. Just one.
As you know, that's what I like to do. I like to just make 1 or 2 changes between each of my teams. So I think it makes perfect sense. I'm on board. And I think it's going to be an interesting spot when building like a team for anyone who's late regging this week, because I think you probably have to go with Salah in that spot, don't you? Now, like, because he's back next week. So it's like, you maybe take Salah. No, you'll get Jota as the safety net if you don't pick Jota as well. And then, yeah, I think that's probably the way to go with the late regs now.
Yep, absolutely. Let's take a look at your team. Your best performing team is, I looked at it and I was like, what is going on here? Triple United defence, De Gea, Telles and Varane. Triple City defence, Stones, Laporte and Cancelo. Ward-Prowse, your best mate, Jota, Bowen, Rafinha and Kane up front. And your captain was De Gea. Where is this? What position did this finish?
It's in like the top 1.5k or something. It's like 1.2k, I think. But to be honest, it's only the points that matter after week one, isn't it? The rank's not really relevant. I think he got like 89 points or something, which is like, it's crazy good. Obviously, my boy James Ward-Prowse right there with his goal again, like absolutely.
He is just typical, so good at those free kicks, isn't he? It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's the best free kick of the season for sure. This season, I absolutely loved it. I couldn't believe how good it was. But I think the major mistake here is the two United defenders. Like, De Gea is fine as a pick because he's making saves for fun. I think he's like absolutely fine, to be honest, at his price. I shouldn't have picked... It was Maguire and Varane I picked, and obviously Maguire got subbed out because he didn't start either game. So, yeah, I wish I hadn't picked the triple United defence, but I'm really happy with the triple City defence. I think the midfield's great, and I love Kane at the moment. He looks back to his best, so I think it's just them two United defenders I need to gradually move out, I think.
Kane was interesting because he had four shots in the first 20 minutes, which we haven't seen him do all season. I mean, Leicester were very, very willing to give him space and let him almost give him a free roll, which was strange. He had so many chances in that game, and Leicester, I know they lost, they conceded two goals in the final few minutes, but I don't really think they can have much complaint because Spurs bossed that game and deserved to win. It's just the manner in which they did it, which was the kind of surprising thing. But yeah, you're confident with Kane going forward then?
Yeah, I think for that reason, you just sort of hinted on it. I think there's a lot of teams similar to Leicester who just won't be able to stop it. Like they won't, like Newcastle, for example, I wouldn't be able to see them stopping Kane, you know what I mean? And there's enough of these teams in the league that just aren't that good that Kane will just have a lot of shots against it, especially if he continues like a bit of confidence like he had last night where he's just shooting on sight again, which I really, really liked. I obviously picked him with the intention that he might have a double this week, which was still open at the deadline, but yeah, I still think he's a nice pick going forward. I don't love the Chelsea fixture next week, but they haven't looked great defensively, have they? So
can you believe that Spurs are 8 points behind Chelsea, but they have four games in hand?
Yeah, so I actually nipped at the table the other day and I saw Arsenal were 8 points behind with two games in hand or something. It might be nine for Arsenal now, I think.
They're nine.
Yeah, but now they've got three games in hand, I think that's what I'm saying. Like, so it's like Chelsea are in absolute free fall. And I if I was a betting man and I found some really good odds, I think I would put a bet on Chelsea to not finish in the top four if I got really good odds for
Sorry. If you're a betting man.
I don't do sports betting, though. I only do fantasy. I don't do sports betting. But, okay. Like, if there was really good odds for it, I just sneaky fancy Chelsea to not finish in the top four because all these teams have got lots of games in hand. West Ham look absolutely terrific. I mean, not at the weekend defensively, but they've looked great in general all season. I think there's enough teams that can catch Chelsea.
United are 9 points behind with two games in hand. I mean, you know, if that comes down to 3 points, just with those, and Chelsea don't look like they can win a game at the moment. There's every chance Chelsea could be sixth in, you know, once all these games are you know, caught up and played, because there's something not right with them at all.
Chelsea really need a result this weekend because they then don't play for two game weeks, as we know.
Yeah.
So by the time they come back from the Club World Cup, they could be behind a lot of these teams if they've played three times in that time while Chelsea haven't played. So it's a really big game for Chelsea this weekend to beat Tottenham. The one thing I will say is Chelsea have had the absolute beating of Tottenham in like the last five, six times they've played them. They've absolutely demolished them. So hopefully they'll go into it with confidence, but they do need to win this weekend, definitely.
Well, you say hopefully. I don't want them to finish in the top four.
I don't either. But I mean, like from their perspective, yeah. It'd
be great if it was City, Liverpool, I don't know, Arsenal and West Ham. That would be the good four, I think, because everyone had pretty much written off West Ham and Arsenal well, okay, not maybe not written off West Ham, but still, if West Ham got into the top four, it'd be a hell of an achievement. And I wrote off Arsenal early on, and you know, it'd be, the fact that they're not that far off is pretty impressive, really.
Yeah, there's plenty of teams who can get in the mix. I'm hoping it's again an amazing top four race, like at the end of this season. I think it will be. All signs point that it will be for everyone below the top two, I think.
Yep.
So yeah,
absolutely. We got some other stuff to talk about today. We've got the monster games that we will touch on. I got a bit overexcited. I saw they were in the lobby. The monster games back, but then I realised it says coming soon, so we can't actually pick our monster team squads. But it's cool to have that back, isn't it? Because they've obviously not been doing those because of all the postponements and having to kind of cancel the tournament as they go. But it looks like that's going to be back, and that's something I like doing each week.
Yeah, hopefully it's good signs towards the fact that, you know, we might have less postponements in the next few weeks. You never know, obviously, and they don't know, obviously, but the fact that they're confident enough to put them in means, you know, that they're confident that, like, we'll get at least 80% of the games get through or whatever. So, yeah, I'm really hopeful, and I hope the Premier League change these rules, you know, for the minimum number of players. It's ridiculous.
They will, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw Black Box last night. Mark did quite a lot of research into... Oh, you don't watch it, do you? As you said to Jenny. Yeah, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, Mark had some really good tables about, you know, the teams. It basically lists all their injuries, all the COVID cases, all the players that are AFCON, and gives the total. And Burnley are obviously the most affected by COVID. And they've got 5 cases. The next biggest, I think, is Southampton with 2. So although Burnley having the game is postponed and people are kind of a bit annoyed about it, they're actually one team that is sort of has the reasons to do it. Whereas most of the other teams, we've just, you know, also have like 1 COVID case and the rest is injuries and AFCON, and they're the ones that get in the games postponed. So they've got to act on it. I just don't know what they do. Like the Premier League, how can they not? They can't, there isn't time to schedule all these games in. It's getting ridiculous.
No, it should be like minimum 4 COVID cases now. I think that should be like, that's the threshold they should have made, though, not a minimum number of players. That doesn't make any sense. We've never called off games previously when teams have been down to 11 players or 12 players. Like, and it's obviously happened with injuries and stuff before. I remember like Lasagna Gate for Tottenham, was it? When they like their whole team was ill or something.
Food poisoning.
Like they had to run a team out. Like they just played a team like it was normal. I think 4 COVID cases would be a reasonable line. And then, like, if people have got more than that, it probably is unlucky, and they probably deserve to have like a game called off for a week or something.
It just has such a knock-on effect. Like Arsenal won't call academy players up for the cup games because then they class as senior players, and then they won't. And then, you know, it's just mind-boggling, really. How I mean, I assume the Premier League didn't intend for this to happen when they've set up the rules, but they've just been left open to kind of interpretation and teams to do it. So. That's kind of what's going on. Before we talk about our main teams, although I don't have had a terrible week in that as well, just try to forget them. Let's talk a bit about what we were talking about before this stream, which is the what fans are going to do if there's double game week this week. So, yeah, I was just going to say the Premier League, Mark has basically said that he doesn't think there's any chance, well, he says a 0% chance that in FPL they would add a double game week in once a game week has started. So it would have to form part of the next game week if we don't get news before Friday deadline. But fan team's different, right?
Yeah, exactly. So let's use Mark's 0% amount as the baseline for FPL. So there's no chance in FPL. I would say there's a very strong chance, somewhere towards 70% at the moment, that if a game week got added into the FA Cup round 4 weekend, which is the one we're talking about, which falls in between game week 23 and 24, that the deadline would remain where it is for both week 23 and 24. Therefore, that those games would actually drop into week 23. So like there's way more than a 0% chance of that happening on fan team is what I'm saying. Whereas for FPL, there's, as you've said, Mark says there's a 0%. So it's a completely different factor to consider on fan team. Like, do you captain someone who might have 2 games in week 23? Because we don't know the fixtures yet, but we've got some idea of like some of the teams who've got extra games to play and what can fall into that FA Cup weekend. So I think like it, and especially with Salah not around, it's a good week to punt the captaincy anyway, I think. So as far as like picking a a Rafinha, who we know might, like, there's talk Leeds Villa might go into that round four weekend, for example.
Yep.
Watkins, these are all reasonable punt captains this week, I think, who've got good single game week fixtures, who could also have an extra fixture on top for the maximum sort of bonus you can have on a captaincy.
Absolutely. Yep. So the two most likely teams to have a double this week are Villa and Burnley, according to kind of the metrics that various people in the community are putting together. And then, like you said, it's Watford and Leeds as well. So I am going to definitely captain a player from one of these teams this week, because I look at the captaincy anyway, and I'm looking at players like Ronaldo, not really feeling it, Fernandez. I think De Bruyne is probably the standout player if I had him, but I haven't got him on any teams. And I think, you know, going for someone like Watkins or Dean or Rafinha, like we've talked about, I think probably is the best way to play it. I think there's definitely more onus to do it, to captain one of these players in fantasy, than there is on FPL.
Yeah, definitely. And like, we're not going to captain a Burnley player, so we can throw that in the bin. That's not going to happen. Like, we probably won't even own one. So like, that's not really an option, I don't think. I think Pope would be the one if you went for absolutely anything, but I'm not feeling that, to be honest. The Watford strikers, now people have obviously got a lot of those. Like, people are going to have that already, like King or Dennis. So I think they're very reasonable options with a single game week of Norwich and then a potential double game week. I think they'd be playing Burnley. So Norwich and Burnley as a double, a potential double, that's obviously great. It's just like, do you trust Watford? That's a question. But at least they've got the Norwich fixture, which is probably the best one in the league at the moment, isn't it? So it's a nice single game week anyway.
Although, your big win against Everton, of course, as I bring Michael Enko into most of my teams, because I thought Everton had a good run. I'm glad Benitez is gone, though. At least Ferguson will sort them out.
They'll have a lot more hunger and fight, I think, and desire, at least for the next few weeks. They'll want to impress both the interim manager and if anyone else comes in between now and sort of the end of the year, even. So, yeah, I think at least you'll see the players trying a bit harder. And they've got some quality in the team. Obviously, DCL and Richarlison are really, really good forwards. So you've got to hope they improve. And with these new fullbacks as well, as you talked about, they'll probably get given a chance now, aren't they? So,
yeah,
I think they could be a much improved team, I think.
I mean, it'd be interesting to know what happens with Michael Enko, for example, because Dean is an attacking fullback that was asked to play quite defensively. Whereas, from what I understand, Michael Enko is a more defensive fullback. So are they going to start getting him to try and play up the pitch? It's almost like they need Dean back now if they're going to go back to swashbuckling, you know, fullbacks down the pitch. Crazy sale with him. Right, let's talk about, because we're going to build a second chance team in a second. Before we do that, let's just look at our kind of main teams that we do each week, just so people know how we're doing. Let's not spend too long on it. I bought in Fernandez, but got a rank drop. I went from 850 to 1147 on my best team. Ramsdale, Trent, Rudiger, Lamptey, Foden, Jota, Fernandez, Bowen, Antonio, Dennis, Ronaldo, bench Cancelo, didn't I?
Oh, a lot of people fell for that, mate. It's I think I was tempted to do it until Son got injured. Once Son was injured, I had the chance to play Cancelo and bench Son, basically. But yeah, I was going to do exactly the same, so I got really lucky with that. You wouldn't have played him over any of these, would you?
So no, if you look at the team,
you can't help it. You picked the right team. It's just Cancelo did what Cancelo does almost every week and just got the huge score that he wasn't even likely to get, or a lot of us didn't fancy him to get. So he's just an unbelievable player, isn't he?
I did it on every team I bought Fernandes in, but every team I benched Cancelo pretty much. But I didn't even spread the risk of captaincy. I just went Ronaldo on pretty much everything. So yeah, it wasn't a great week. Here, Motley Barlett says, thought I was going to sing ABBA then. So did I. Like, take a chance. But no, second chance. They should do that. There you go. That's a bit of free promo for fan team. They should have got ABBA to sing the song. Who needs Big Sam? Just get ABBA. Wheel ABBA out.
They'll be available. They'll be up for it, I'm sure. Like, I bet they come cheap as well, don't they, ABBA? Yeah. So I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine. Yeah.
Well, you're rivaling Pig now, aren't you, in the musical front? I saw your little your song.
It didn't work though, did it? He was rubbish. He was absolutely rubbish.
I think you probably heard that and just went, oh god, no, I'm not even going to bother trying now.
Yeah, it probably put him off, to be honest. And then to top it off, I think we sort of knew he was only going to get 60-70 minutes, didn't we, like with the injury, like nursing the injury. So I was just annoyed that it was Maguire who came on for him. It just didn't feel right. Felt like you were taking off like Ronaldo, like one of the world's greatest ever players, and bringing on a defender who can't defend anymore. So yeah, no, it was frustrating, but because I did the same as you, I captained Ronaldo on every single team, so yeah. it wasn't ideal for us. But
let's take a look at your team. I mean, you had De Gea in goal, Maguire, Trent, Cancelo, Reguilon, Jota, Bowen, Cucurella, Kane, Tony and Ronaldo. But you're up to 286.
Yeah, I think it's slightly dropped from last week. I think it was 250 last week. So I was doing even better, like just about. But I take it because there's no Fernandes in this team. So to have only dropped a bit without Fernandes, I think the other players have really stepped up. Annoyingly, it was Maguire who blocked me from getting Fernandes because I've already got triple United. So, like, I could have done Son to Fernandes if I didn't have silly Harry Maguire. But I ended up rolling the transfer, so I've got two for next week, which is obviously good. Hopefully gives me, like, a bit more chance to punt some of these 23 potential doublers. But, yeah, I was happy with this team for the double game week. I think all the single game week players had good fixtures, and then all the doublers had doubles. So, Reguilon was a bit disappointing. Obviously, I don't think I could do anything with the Tottenham players, even though it was likely they might only have one game. I think Kane still did more than enough anyway, and then Reguilon just didn't do very well, but that's fine, I think.
Absolutely. Right, let's take a look. So, as I've kept saying, you know, you can enter your late reg team for this. You've put together a couple of drafts for us. So let's take a look at those. Our cameras have gone. Hang on. I can fix that. Don't worry. Can I fix that live? Maybe. Simple enough.
There's always something. It's like it's all right though, I'm sure.
Oh, you know, always the pros with me. I don't know why it's done that. It doesn't normally do that. Okay, we're in. I think we're going to be off the next one, but it's fine. Okay, so De Gea in goal, Trent, Cancelo, Sace, Laporte, Rafinha, Salah, Gallagher, Mahrez, King, and Ings. You've got to talk to me about why Danny Ings is in there. I couldn't understand that. Rest looks good.
So you know me, I've always preferred Watkins, like, because Watkins is the 90-minute guy, right? I love Watkins, but he doesn't have a safety net on this game, and like, I just feel like having Ings means if he doesn't play, I'll get Watkins, obviously, which is really, really good. I might be swung to go back to Watkins just because I think Watkins is completely nailed if he's fit. But yeah, it's just the safety net element why I've got Ings basically over Watkins. With the double potentially looming that we're talking about this week, I think I definitely want some Villa. Coutinho's good, really good price, but probably just as punty as Ings, I think, just because like we're not sure he'll start both, or I don't think it's likely he starts both, to be honest. The only thing going in their favour is there's obviously going to be an awful lot of time between game one and game two if it is a double game week. I think there's like best part of 2 weeks in between the two games, so in that sense we shouldn't really be as worried about rotation. But yeah, I like Ings, probably prefer Watkins, to be honest, but I had a bit of extra money, so I paid for a safety net, basically. Do you not think Ings would start both games then, or is it just that he's not as good, do you think? Or
I think the pros of Ings is that when he plays, he will be, you know, the main number nine, and that means Watkins is more than likely shifted out to the left. I can't see how he's going to try what Smith did and play them both kind of up front. So I think you could make an argument that when they both play, kind of Ings is the best pick. I just think it got a double game week coming up. I would not be surprised if Ings started one and missed the other.
And I agree.
All the stats indicate at the moment that Watkins is the better player. He was the best performing player in terms of XG, expecting goal involvement per minute under Smith, and he is again under Gerrard as well. So I know there's no safety net, but Watkins doesn't miss games. That's just not what he does. He always plays. So I think he's kind of the one player that you can get away with not having the safety net for.
I think you've swayed me because I want to pick Watkins anyway. I had him all last season. I've had him on FPL already this season. I really love Ollie Watkins. So I think I'm happy to switch that one. The rest of it's pretty safe though, isn't it? I think. Obviously, Mahrez has got the safety net of Foden. I think the double City D is really nice because they are the best defence in the league. So I think it's nice to have a good piece of that. And then with Sace, obviously he's at AFCON as well, but he's got the safety net of like every single Wolves defender. So I think that that should be all right as well, I think.
Sorry if you can hear some drilling that's going on outside my house. I think you can probably hear it, but I'm trying to mute it on the stream so they won't hear it. But yeah, my garden's getting done and they're crazy. But they're playing all kinds of like music. They've gone from gangster rap to classical FM today. It's been quite exciting.
Anyway, they're like a mix. It's all good. Like I'm sure
keeping it fresh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of the other players you've got here, you've got your double City defence again, Cancelo and Laporte, just the one. In De Gea. I mean, it's a pretty solid team, this, isn't it? This isn't as exciting as the one that you've done so well with this week, with your three City defenders and three United. But this, to me, looks about as solid a team as you can kind of put together right now.
Yeah, I think having Salah sort of forces you to be more solid in the other spots because you can't sort of take a punt by paying up on someone else, you know what I mean? So in the Gallagher slot, for example, I'd love to have Sterling. I don't know, it's like an absolute Man City punt. I know I've already got three City in this team, but as an example, like take Laporte out, put Sterling in, you know what I mean, and put an extra Wolves defender in or something, I don't know. That would be like a way to make it more punty, I think. But having to pay the extra 5 million for Salah this week over Jota means that you just have to be more solid in the other spots, I think, when your team's 5 million less spending this week effectively for game week 23. So
could you afford Gallagher to Coutinho if you did Ings to Watkins?
Yeah, I could. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's a bit more exciting, especially given the things going on. I think I will enter a late reg team, especially given that all my other teams are doing poorly and it's a bit of a wild card, isn't it, to do so. So that would give me five teams in this, all which are going to be terrible.
It's a nice number though, isn't it? Five at least. It's like a nice solid amount to have. Yeah. I think Rafinha, as we've talked about, somewhat likely to have a double game week this week, which I think is obviously why I've picked him. I think he's just great anyway, to be honest. And then Josh King for the same reason, basically. Yeah. So that rounds it off, I think.
Yep. And then your second team, and you've got a lot of similar players. So you've gone for Salah again in this one. So is that kind of one of the tactics that you're thinking now, if you're going to enter a late reg team, or that you've just got to have Salah in place? Because we think he's probably going to be about 24, if not definitely 25.
I think that's the way you get ahead of the others this week. Yeah, I think like that's one way to have an advantage on people who are registered in 22, because they won't have Salah, a lot of them, like a large percentage of them won't have Salah. So if you've already got him, it saves you a transfer in 24 or 25 instantly, assuming everyone wants to sort of own Salah from that period onwards. Yeah. It might mean potentially you can bank all your transfers till Liverpool blank, for example, in 27. Like, so you could go almost 4 or 5 weeks and have like five transfers by then if everything goes well. So I think the fact that he's only missing 1 week now swings me towards wanting to own Salah, I think. As for the differences here, I've gone for Foden over Mahrez in this one. I just think it doesn't make that much difference. So when Mahrez is back, I'm more likely to have Foden in this scenario than having him in the other scenario where I might actually end up with Mahrez, which is fine. Just something a bit different. Coutinho's in here, as you can see. So I have got that sort of double up we talked about, as you would swappings for Watkins again in this one, I presume, but it's got Coutinho and Watkins at least. And then I went for Sarr in goal over De Gea because I just think he probably is the best value goalkeeper this season. So yeah, that's the only other thing I changed.
Nine saves he made against Southampton. Like, he's been that kind of steady player with Wolves keeping it tight, but when I saw nine saves made, I was like, wow, this really is a keeper that we need to kind of start considering now. I mean, you have got double Wolves though, and the fixtures do turn a bit for them.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, they haven't conceded more than one goal in a game for like months, I think, literally. Yeah. Like, so I just think their defence is largely like fixture proof. It's going to be quite solid, I think. I think they've got two toughies coming up in a row, but like I back them against most teams, to be honest. I reckon you might feel that somewhat the same, right?
Well, it's amazing. I'm just looking at their fixtures. They haven't conceded more than one goal
since 11, game week 11, I think.
It's amazing. Game week 11 against Crystal Palace, but I mean, they've only conceded more than one goal against Palace, Villa,
Brentford
and that's it. And that's it. Amazing.
This is what I mean. So they've already played everyone once. So I'll just back that defence now. I think we've got enough data to just show that that defence is going to be solid. And if you've got Saar making sort of, even if he makes four saves a week, that's still
a real boost. I didn't realise it was that impressive. That is amazing. I mean, you know, 1-0 loss against City, 1-0 loss against Liverpool. They beat United 1-0, drew 0-0 with Chelsea. You know, lost 1-0 to United at the start of the season. I mean, it's incredible what he's done defensively there. And no one really thought they were going to be a defensive team. I thought they were going to be really free-flowing and attacking, and it's been the complete opposite. Yeah. Wow. Absolutely. I've learned something today. I knew their defensive stats were good, but I didn't know they were that good.
I think they've, you know what, I keep saying Man City are the best defence in the league, and I think they are, but I think Wolves are second now. Genuinely, I think Wolves are the second best now.
Because Chelsea have goals conceded?
Yeah, they're definitely in terms of goal conceded, I think, but also like just as a defence, I would want to pick. So obviously you've got Trent for the attacking returns. Liverpool are obviously pretty good, but for value, I think Wolves are better defensively than Liverpool are now for the £3 million saving. I think like I'd go Man City is the best value, then Wolves, then Liverpool, I think, is what I'd go.
According to the stats, over the last four, Wolves are seventh. So the stats indicate that there are, you know, City, Chelsea, Villa, Brighton, Tottenham, Arsenal are better than them in terms of minutes per XG conceded non-penalty. So, you know, it's still good. I mean, seventh is still impressive, but and they are ahead of Liverpool, like you mentioned, but they're not like first. Top is Arsenal, 154 minutes per expected goal conceded. Over the season, Wolves are fifth. So it's City, Chelsea, then Brighton, and then Liverpool, and then Wolves.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. So, like, I think we've got to bear in mind, obviously, Chelsea have tailed off massively, like, over the whole season. Like, the last 7 weeks, let's say, have been completely different to, like, the first 15 weeks in terms of goals conceded, anyway. Also worth noting, like, Wolves' last four games have been, like, United, Chelsea, Brighton away have been three of the four games, which those are all tough games in this league at the moment. So, I back Wolves completely. And I think like the fact that they're fifth over the season for this price, because they're probably priced as like the 15th highest probably out of the defences, but they're performing like the fifth highest. So like, I think that's just like an indication of where the value is, to be honest. I think those are great stats, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, Brighton are posting good stats, but not keeping the clean sheets. That's the key thing. And Wolves are doing both. Ah, wow.
Yeah. And the other thing with Brighton is, for the goalkeeper, it's really annoying because he doesn't make that many saves because you don't concede that many chances. So I'd much rather have Saar over Sanchez all day, every day of the week, I think.
And he's 4-5. And he's 4-5. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Wow, didn't think we'd be waxing lyrical about Wolves defenders for 5 minutes of this video. Josh, I think we'll call it there. That is awesome. That is your suggestions for building a late ridge team. I'm going to have a go at doing one now. I might make this one a bit different and try and, you know, not make it so close to all my other ones, which are all doing terribly. But yeah, good luck with everything. I know you're riding high in the main game. You must be looking at the top 100 and thinking you can hopefully get into that.
Yeah, I think even up till last week, I was still looking at like first place, I think. But all the Bruno captain has sort of pulled 20 or 30 further away, I think. So I think it's like going to be quite tough to try and win now, but definitely top 100. Yeah, I think that's very much what I'm going for, I think.
Very nice. Well, we will be back in a couple of weeks. Obviously, we've got the break going forward. But yeah, final message is it looks like if we don't get any news about a double game week in the next few days and they do decide to drop one in, Josh is fairly confident, pretty confident, 70% confident that there will be a double game week anyway, whereas that won't happen in FPL. So our advice is Villa, Leeds, Watford, maybe Burnley.
Just Rafinha for me is my favourite by miles. I love him. So
there you go.
Yeah, they've got Newcastle at home anyway, so it's not a bad punt cap anyway. So with the extra chance of a double game week, which would be absolutely perfect. Yep. It's worth noting that there's no guarantee there will be a double game week. So like that's the reason to be a bit hesitant on it. But the fact that they've got Newcastle at home in a week where the captaincy's wide open, I think Rafinha's great. Watkins has got Everton. That's great as well. So take your pick, really.
Awesome. Thanks, Josh. We'll speak again in a few weeks.
Thanks, guys. Bye.